Welcome to Off Code, the show where we ignore the cultural codes and have real and intriguing conversations regarding the Black community and ways we can move forward to human flourishing.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Off Code. I'm Monique Dusson.
And I am Kevin Briggins, and we have another great episode for you guys today. And we're actually doing something we haven't done in a while. We actually have a guest today.
So
I'm really excited about having a guest. I'm really excited about the topic because it is something that we've been stewing on for a while, something that's kind of been in the culture. But we really wanted to bring on the right person to talk about it, and I think that's what we've done today.
I think so, too. We are going to be talking to the one and only Miss Ty Jones. And I first found Ty. She just popped up like in my social media feed. I don't know how she got there, but I was listening to her and just her approach to a lot of urban apologetic issues. That's literally just how I came across her as a content creator. And then I went to Southern Evangelical Seminary's annual conference, and she was there, and I actually got to meet her in person. So on today's show, our topic is the Black Hebrew Israelites. And I want to say it's called Hebrew Israelism. And so we're just going to do not a deep dive, but we want to introduce this topic. This is a topic that is having many inroads in the Black community, and we need to be prepared to be able to have conversations with people who are Black Hebrew Israelites. Kevin, you know what? Before we keep going, I got to tell you a story.
Okay, go ahead.
One day, me and Krista went to Starbucks. And as everyone in the universe probably already knows, I am single. And so Krista thought that it was her mission in life to have me speak to the young Black gentleman in Starbucks. And I was like, no, I'm fine. Like, I don't just fancy walking up to strangers saying hi. Like, that's just not me. Like, if I know you through somebody, okay, cool. But I don't know even how we got on the topic, but somehow she connected him to me. And so we start having a conversation. And I'm a Black Hebrew Israelite. And let me basically tell you why, as a woman in ministry, you're wrong. And
did he ask what you were doing with a Edomite?
We didn't get that far.
Okay.
Because I sure do have that ministry of see you later. And I was like, okay, see you later, friend. And then I went back to my own table and proceeded to just melt into my chair and ask Krista why she set me up with a Black Hebrew Israelite. And we'd only been in Starbucks for 15 minutes. Yes.
You could have been another one of his wives.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. She could have sold me off to a harem. She don't know.
Yeah.
She don't know. Anyway, let's bring on Ty. Ty, my struggle was real. My struggle was real.
Girl, I understand because these Hebrew Israelites is out here. Starbucks too, apparently.
In these streets. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So Ty, please take a little bit of time and just introduce yourself to our audience. Who are you? How did you, get started making YouTube content and apologetics?
Well, it's quite interesting that you asked that question, especially because of the topic at hand. Actually, Hebrew Israelism was my entry point into urban apologetics because I come from a background of like Word of Faith and TBN and it's like heyday, So that was pretty much that was my Christian television. That was how I learned about the Bible until I, of course, started reading the Bible for myself. But I had a friend who at my church became a Hebrew Israelite. And they basically tried to get me to convert to Hebrew Israelism. And so we would debate and have all these discussions. And so it caused me to dig into my Bible and to learn about that particular group because I didn't know much about it. I had heard about it because, maybe several years ago, MTV had the show called True Life. And one of the people on there was a Hebrew Israelite. This Christian guy was dating or married to a Hebrew Israelite woman. And it caused a whole bunch of drama in their relationship. So that was the first time I had even heard about the religion. But when my friend became one, and I started to learn their doctrines, I was like, this is some crazy stuff. So along the way, it kind of forced me to tighten up on learning theology and learning how to interpret the Bible the right way and kind of get rid of some of the bad teachings that I had, or, you know, some of my own bad interpretations and things like that. So just reading about Hebrew Israelism, actually Vocab Malone wrote this book called Barack Obama versus the Black Hebrew Israelites. Mm-hmm. And he actually encouraged me. He's like, yo, you should start a channel. I'm like, I don't know enough to start a channel, but that was the initial encouragement. So thank you, Vocab. He taught me about Hebrew Israelism and he helped me to get my YouTube channel started.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell us, who are the Black Hebrew Israelites? Like, is it something that is just, you know, new and growing, or is it something that's been around a long time? Like, who are these people?
It's actually pretty old. Well, it's not that old, but it's older than a lot of us probably think. I think it goes back maybe about 100 years, but it got really popular, I think, because of social media and all the things that have been going on over the last few years with, like, you know, racism and just the climate of the United States and all this kind of stuff. And with YouTube, you know, everybody can get on YouTube and have a platform. So it's kind of went from the cities to a lot of, you know, southern places and has crept its way into the Black church. But basically, Black Hebrew Israelites are people who read the Bible and they use Deuteronomy 28 to affirm this idea, this concept, that all descendants of the transatlantic slave trade are the true Jews. And so the people who are living in Israel now are fake Jews who have they're basically imposters. They stole our identity. And the reason they know that we are the true Jews is because of the curses in Deuteronomy 28. So Hebrew Israelism, I think if you had asked maybe 4 or 5 years ago, what do they believe? It would have been a little bit easier. But now it just seems like there's so many different offshoots and just different groups. So talking to one Hebrew Israelite really is just like talking to one Hebrew Israelite, because there's it's basically like whatever floats your boat. You know, some people, they can claim to be Israelite, but then you talk to them, it's like, that's kind of more of like a Nation of Islam type of thing, or that's more of an African spirituality type of thing. So it can be all over the place, but foundationally, they believe that they are the true Jews, and most of them, I would say, affirm this idea of law keeping.
Well, we're gonna have to get into that.
Yeah. Part. So crazy. Okay, I got you. That's basically what we're saying. Okay.
Yeah. So, wait. Now, does that mean that all? Are they saying that all the Jews, like, going back into, you know, pre-Deuteronomy 28, like, that those Hebrews were also of African descent? Because, like, are they saying that only African Americans then, because of the transatlantic slave trade, or those in the African diaspora are Jews, but then nobody else is a Jew, everybody else is a fake Jew?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, most of them believe that if you're a descendant of the transatlantic slave trade, so basically everyone who was a part of the diaspora. So they've got the 12 tribes chart. A lot of them say that Americans, so Black Americans, would be the tribe of Judah. In Haiti, you would have the Levites, and there's different ones. Like, they've also kind of included Native Americans and Hispanics on the chart too. So yeah, it just basically, if you Black and you came over here on a ship, and I think they'll even say that if you Black and you came over here on a ship, then you a Jew.
So the Haitians are the Levites.
Yes.
Hey, I'm on that Levitical priesthood. Okay, I see you Hebrew Israelites. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there is so much glaringly wrong with that type of thinking from a historical and geological approach. But why is this so appealing? Why do you believe this is so appealing to, let's say, the Black community? And why is it, gotten so popular recently, the last, let's say, 15, 20 years? Why is it gaining so much steam? Why do you believe it's so popular within the Black community?
I think it's a product of identity crisis, for one. You know, if someone is telling you this book is all about you, then it makes you feel like, oh, I am special. All these things I went through in my life, it's because I am the special chosen one of God. And so I think it kind of gives you an ego boost. But I think also, like, because there's a lot of men who are drawn to it. Women are definitely, you know, interested in the theology too. But I think it's especially attractive to young Black men because you have, you know, a tribe, you know, a collective group of young people who you can connect with and, you know, tell you this about yourself, tell you that about yourself, make you feel good about yourself. And I think it's like an empowerment thing. And probably also because, sadly, you know, a lot of us grew up in churches, and I've grown up in some really, really good churches, but I've also been in some kind of wonky churches too. I think a lot of people are wonky churches. They're not really getting a whole lot of, you know, really sound Bible teaching.
Yeah.
And so it becomes goofy. Like when you realize health and wealth and prosperity doesn't quite work, name that claiming doesn't work, you're like, I'm done with this. And then this whole idea of Christianity being the white man's religion, I think that kind of pushed people into Hebrew Israelism. And it's almost like Nation of Islam was kind of like a precursor, because I feel like they kind of borrow from each other a lot. But if I had to guess, I think that's why a lot of people become Hebrew Israelites, but I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons.
I agree with that. I mean, that's kind of been my observation, is it is an identity crisis. You know, a lot of Black Americans, we don't know who we are, right? When you lose your history, when you lose your culture, and you have this kind of inferiority complex, you're looking for something. It started back in the day, they told us we were all kings and queens, right? We're always trying to boost ourselves up about history. And when you don't really have one, you get to make it up, right? And so anything that comes along that tells you you're special, that tells you you're great, that tells you you are all kings and queens, or tell you that you're actually God's chosen people, some people gravitate to that because then now it gives them a sense of identity. They no longer feel less than white people. And now all of a sudden they feel superior to white people. And we can get into that and how that comes off. But no, I think that's exactly right. It is truly an identity crisis of not knowing who we are.
Ty, I think it's interesting that you said that it's really attractive to men. Not that women don't join, but that it's really attractive to men. And, you know, one of the things that I tend to see in not all, but a lot of Black churches is that they tend to be very woman heavy. Or woman run, or, you know, even if there is a male senior pastor, there's a lot of female leadership in the church and a very heavy female presence and voice. And I wonder if that, like that very large female presence can be off-putting to men or make them feel as if they don't actually have a place for leadership. And so then something like the Black Hebrew Israelites is attractive because now you have this place where you can really be a man, you can be in leadership. There's almost like an identity for the man in that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it like that. But yeah, especially if you have like more of a charismatic type of background where it's very emotion led. You know, the crying and the dancing and all this, not that there's anything wrong with that per se, but I know all men don't want to cry. Like, I didn't come here to cry. I came here, like, teach me something. And I think if you're lacking that intellectual side of Christianity and Bible knowledge and all that kind of stuff, like the gospel without the gospel is just so cheap, and it's just not going to keep you very long.
Uh-huh.
I've seen someone like the literature, it comes off as very masculine and strong, right? And so you got these young, impressionable men who don't know how to be men. And now someone is telling them that this is who you are and this is who you need to be. And it's something to kind of mimic and aspire to. It's strength. And we're going to get it. I'm going to ask the question about the memes. But if you see the memes, it's all like these really jacked, strong, powerful Black men, right? And it just appeals to men as something to ascribe to and be. This is who you are. You are a king. You are a warrior. You are the Lion of Judah, right? And so that imagery is very, very powerful for men who come out of very matriarchal kind of culture.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, the sects that believe in polygamy also are like, oh, I can have more than one.
Yes.
Also, yes. You know.
Ty, you mentioned that they bring a lot of the Deuteronomy 28, the cursing passages and all of that, is the Bible their only text? Like canonical text or?
No. I wish, but they love the Apocrypha. I haven't read much of the Apocrypha myself, but from what I've heard, there are some passages in some of those deuterocanonical books that they like because it seems to affirm some of these ideas of, like, I don't know, I guess Jews being more important than other people or something like that. I hope I'm not butchering the Apocrypha, but there's something in that Apocrypha that affirms this Hebrew Israelite doctrine. So I think that's one reason why they like to go to that.
So then they're looking at the Apocrypha and the Bible.
Yes.
Do you think that they look at the Apocrypha more than they're looking at the Bible?
I don't think so. Okay. But they consider it scripture. So to them, it is the Bible.
They're from my understanding, they're rooted heavily in Old Testament texts.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. And it's completely ripped out of context to anything that has anything to do with the biblical narrative of scripture. It is just onesie twosie scriptures taken out of context. Like no whole text, no chapters, just a couple of verses here and there. And they make a whole theology out of, like you say, Deuteronomy, you know, 28 or whatever it is. Like it is so incoherent and just thrown together. If you ever talk to one, they will just randomly throw out random individual onesie twosie scriptures that don't mean anything other than from their crazy wacky trying to make it fit the black people in the transatlantic slave trade.
Yeah, at least the more militant ones on the street. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do they get to salvation? Because like you said, it's very law heavy. Mm-hmm. And in the law and in the Old Testament, it was sacrifices. Mm-hmm. So I hope nobody out here were like out here catching pigeons and them little brown birds. You know what I mean?
You the Levite?
No, they believe that. Now, they like Hebrews because Hebrews talks about how like the sacrificial laws and all those ceremonies are done away with. So they affirm that to kind of they affirm Hebrews to try to get away from the sacrificial laws and all of that kind of stuff. But really, they don't have an assurance of salvation from what I understand. It's kind of like most of these other cults. They are heavy on legalism and working to try to earn your salvation. But at the end of the day, most of the time, they won't tell you, yeah, you're definitely going to make it. It's more like, oh, I'll figure it out when I get there. Or, you know, if I'm black and I believe that I'm a Hebrew Israelite, that almost has become the new gospel. That's the type of comment that I get in my videos. You're going to burn that, you know, God's going to get you because you're not affirming your true lineage. So I think, yeah.
Okay. So then if nobody is truly secure unless you're black and you affirm your lineage, my lineage is through Haiti. I am of the Levitical priesthood. So just as long as we clear on that, y'all. What do they think about Jesus? Like, is there a need for Jesus?
It just depends. Because like I said, there's so many different types of Hebrew Israelites. So you have like your more militant ones that come from the One West tradition. So One West was just the name of the school that pretty much birthed modern Hebrew Israelism. It was in New York. So those are the ones that you'll typically see on the street corners yelling at people. Some of them have some very interesting outfits. So if you see them, you'll know, okay, yeah, that's a Hebrew Israelite group. But then you also have some who are kind of blending Hebrew Israelism with what could be maybe a version of Christianity. Like, I guess it's possible that some who believe that they are Israelites still are Christians because they believe that they're saved by grace through faith through Christ alone. But it just depends. Like, so the more militant ones, from what I can tell, Jesus is the Messiah, but he's not God. He's almost like a demigod. He's the Messiah, but he's not God the Father. So of course they also reject the Trinity, which that messes God all up. So Jesus really is kind of like a means to an end. Like, yeah, he's going to come back and he's going to destroy all these people. But then your more modern type of Hebrew Israelites will say, well, anybody can be saved. whether you're white or not, but it's almost like, but you still have to affirm that I'm an Israelite. And if you don't affirm that I'm an Israelite, then you're done. You're done.
Wow. So knowledge that Black people are the true Jews is kind of like the gospel that leads to salvation.
Yes.
Do you have to have the knowledge that Jesus is Black? Because I'm sure they probably have to run to you. My favorite verse when I was in critical race theory and social justice is from Revelation. Like, you see his bronze feet? You see that woolly hair? This mess is woolly. Okay? I'm related to Jesus. And of course, Jesus is Black.
Yeah, it's the good times theology for me. I hate it so much. Now, I haven't heard them say that you have to believe that Jesus is Black in order to be saved, per se, but they do. I mean, they teach that a lot. They butcher Revelation 1. It's so horrible. But I'm not sure if they would necessarily say you got to believe that he's actually Black to be saved. It's more so just make sure that you know that we are the Jews.
Okay, so Jesus can be any color.
Well, No.
Look, if you know that Black people are the true Jews, then of course Jesus is Black.
Yeah.
Okay. Duh, I mean,
I'm just asking. I'm trying to get clarification.
No, I'm doing it from their point of view. You know, it's
Jesus
like,
can't be white, right?
Oh, it can't be no Edomite?
No. No.
Mm-mm. So, okay. That's what?
That's blasphemy. You tell us that Jesus was an Edomite.
So then, all white people are Edomites?
If you're from the One West tradition, then probably, yeah. Or unless you can prove that someone on your father's side is a Jew.
Is Black.
Yes. Then they'll let you in.
So, like, okay. So you would have to be, like, past white. Because you really got, like, some sugar in the Kool-Aid way down yonder, right? Like, in reality, I'm just past white, but my great grandfather was Black. So yeah. I'm like one drop rule kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they hold him to.
Yeah. It's kind of racist, isn't it?
You know, far be it from me to call out somebody else's cult, but that's some racist.
I almost feel like it's kind of CRT-ish too, because it's like this oppressor thing. I'm like, man, is everything CRT? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned that they hold to the curses of Deuteronomy 28. So does that go back to like the curse of Ham?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So in the curse of Ham, for people who may not know, the curse of Ham, when Noah's sons looked upon his nakedness, Noah cursed his son's son. Mm-hmm. And so in cursing his son's son, and you can go and read it in Genesis, maybe 10, 11, somewhere in that local vicinity, 9, 10. But yes, so we see the curse of him. Now some people actually still believe in the curse of Ham today, according to Black Hebrew Israelites, apparently. But I also know that it was, you know, throughout slavery and even, you know, among racists today, white racists, there are some who would say that Black people are the curse of Ham. This, a prominent person from Biola, Talbot Seminary, Talbot believed in the curse of Ham. So there was this whole, like, it wasn't just a rogue sect of people. This was more common knowledge at one point in our history. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you're saying that the curse, what is the curse of Ham about? What does that do with Black people? Can you explain?
So because of the curse that Noah put out, that is seen as now, you know, this is the group that was cursed with dark skin. They trace them back to Africa and all of that. And so now, because of the tracing of the dark skin and tracing them into Africa, they must be meant to be slaves.
Yeah.
That's just the destiny of the people with dark skin because of this curse.
Yeah. All right. So I think one thing about the curse of Ham that's important to point out in terms of this conversation is how they view Black people as being the descendants of Ham, right? And because we're the descendants of Ham, we've been cursed. And that is why Black people are not in the position they should be in, right? Or that's why Black people are in a lesser position than the world. When you think about the world, think about where Africa is compared to the rest of the world. And so the reason that is in their mind is because of this curse of Ham. And the way out of that curse is to truly understand who you really are. And that is to be a Hebrew Israel. You are God's chosen people. And until we realize who we are, we'll never ascend to the heights of where we're supposed to be, which is kings and rulers and all of this type of stuff. And so that is where the curse of Ham kind of really fits into like their theology of, it gives them an explanation of why the world is the way it is.
Unshaken 2024 is coming. Join three of the most influential voices in cultural apologetics, Natasha Crane, Frank Turek, and Elisa Childers, as they equip Christians to live for Jesus in a world increasingly at odds with biblical Christianity. At Unshaken, you will join hundreds of others who are seeking to navigate the intersection of societal pressure and biblical truth, covering topics such as deconstruction, social justice, sexuality, and many more. Unshaken will teach you what the Bible has already said about the social issues we face today and equip you to stand firm in God's truth. The Unshaken Conference will be visiting Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Buffalo, New York, and Austin, Texas in 2024. For details and tickets, visit unshakenconference.com and use code FRIEND20 to get 20% off your ticket price. Join us this year for an experience that will embolden and encourage your faith. That's code FRIEND20 at unshakenconference.com. We'll see you there.
So I have a question about the whole Edomite situation, because you said that the white people were Edomites.
Yeah.
Can one of you explain, because I'm only in cultural apologetics, number one. Okay. I haven't got like all these degrees from seminary yet. Who were the Edomites and why is that important that white people are Edomites?
If my memory serves me correctly, it's because of Jacob and Esau. So Esau is the like patriarch of the Edomites. And I think the Bible says something about Esau's skin being red or ruddy or something like that. So they think that white people descended directly from Esau, and that's why their skin is fair.
Wow. So because white people can blush, they are Edomite?
Basically. Oh, and something about too, the Caucasus Mountains, like Obadiah talks about them hiding in the rocks, and they're like white people was hiding in the Caucasus Mountains, and so there you go, Edomites.
That is the extent of their theology. That is really that simple.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, Krista is over here. She is behind the scenes of all things, and she brought up a really good point that in order to be considered a Jew, because Jews technically did not exist during Noah's day, they were not considered the Jews, nor I don't think were they considered Hebrews, the Hebrew people at this time. In order to be considered like a Semite, you actually needed to come through the line of the other son, who I believe it's Shem.
Yep.
And so how do they connect and make us or them, not me, but them, or black people, Jews?
That's a good question. That I think that one might be above my pay grade.
That's okay.
As I often say, don't try to make it make sense. It is not very biblical at all. It is, like I say, they just take hodgepodge scriptures and throw at you and try to make some theology out of it. And it is really, really bad. I wanted to talk about it because I don't know, Ty, if you're familiar with it, but I used to be in a Christian Black Hebrewites group. Like it was a combined group where you would go back and forth and discuss theology and this type of stuff. Their theology is rooted in memes. They can never do like a biblical exposition. It was always a meme that they would make their argument off of. Have you experienced that? Have you seen a lot of the memes they like to throw around?
Yeah, and they're pretty bad.
They are horrible, but that's their that's their apologetics.
Yeah, and of course YouTube and
yes,
they don't really have a good hermeneutic. It's just if I like this text, I'll take that, and if something is in there that I don't like, then I must make it say something else. So it's almost like a bit of esoteric type of interpretation. Like I've got this higher understanding of the scriptures. They'll tell me this all the time. you didn't come to this conclusion because the spirit hasn't revealed it to you yet.
Hey. Man. Yeah. I don't know who has worse memes, Black Hebrew Israelites or LeBron James fans. I don't know who has the worst.
Well, I can't speak on that one.
Wow. So let me ask another question then. Because see, now my brain is just really, really going. What do you think the impact is of the Black Hebrew Israelites on the Black community, like just overall? I mean, we could talk about the impact in the Black church or in Black higher education, but where do you see like this, their impact in the Black community, and what is the implications, I guess, of that?
Overall, I would say it's really bad. I mean, especially for the Black church, I mean, they're basically teaching people how to misinterpret the entire Bible. So it messes up everything. And because they are Torah keepers or, you know, Old Testament commandment keepers, that type of theology, then you're basically dismissing the entire gospel. You are trading that for a works-based gospel. So it's horrible for Christians. And as far as the Black community, I don't see any positives that really come along with it, at least not anything that outweighs the bad. I mean, so you got Black men coming together and they're doing something that on the outside, I guess, doesn't look horrible, except when they're yelling at people. And that's quite often, you know. So to me, it just kind of breeds anger and just ungodliness. I don't think it's good at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it. I'm glad you said the word anger, because that is what I think about when I think of Black Hebrew Israelites on the corner, yelling at people, profanity, just anger. Why is there so much anger in it? What are your thoughts?
That's a good question. Well, I think some of it is hurt, you know, going back to the identity crisis. And you're dwelling on being oppressed all the time, you know, and I think there's a place where God is like, it's okay for us to say, hey, this hurts. I didn't like this. But I think there's also a place where we have to be like, you know what, Lord, in all things, I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be thankful because you're a good, you know, you're God and you're the potter. I'm the clay. It just doesn't really seem to, that's not the focus of Hebrew Israelism. Hebrew Israelites are all about, I got to prove to God that I am worthy. And so I got to keep this Old Testament law, and I'm going to look down at other people, specifically those pesky Christians, because they're sellouts, especially all Black Christians. Y'all are sellouts because y'all won't acknowledge who we are. And because you're not keeping all these feast days, you're not keeping the Sabbath, you're not staying away from pork like we should be doing. So it like exalts the self-righteousness too, because you are the one who has to earn your own salvation, which you really don't have because there's no assurance. So I think that's why people are mad. Yeah.
Look, if I'm a descendant of Ham, that's why I eat pork.
Don't play no games.
I'm just bacon is true to who I am.
Yes. But okay, so Ty, you mentioned like, you know, the feast days and all that. I think there's something like 613 laws.
613, yeah.
Which do they keep all of them? Like they not mixing their polyester with their, you know, cotton. You know, like
they're not keeping it. How are you going to keep the law without a temple? The temple has been gone since 70 AD. They're like, how are you going to, where are your Levitical priests? I mean, okay, we got Monique here, so we have
Thank
a priest. Everybody doesn't have a priest, you know?
Yes.
So it's going to be kind of hard to keep all these Levitical laws when your Levites all in Haiti.
Hey, all I can say, like in the words of Notorious, recognize a real priest when you see one.
No, look, all I got to say is it was really, really, you know, nice of the transatlantic slave holders to separate us by tribes on different islands like that. That was very neat that all the Levites would go to Haiti and, you know, all the tribe of Benjamin would go somewhere else. That was pretty nice of them to keep us all together like that.
Convenient.
Yes.
That's interesting. So if the cult is very man-centric and about, you know, building up the identity of the man, oh, this is two-part. Like, what do they see as the identity of the woman, and how do the men treat their women? Because one of the things that we believe as Christians is that Christianity is actually good news for women. you know, we see many other religions where you can do widow burning, or it's okay to beat your wife. And, you know, women are not as good as men. I'm just wondering how they see that.
I think that goes back to which tribe that you are a part of. If you're more moderate, then it's probably not as militant. But I personally don't see why any woman would want to be a Hebrew Israelite. I think they devalue women. It's very misogynistic, very submission driven. And I'm like, not like a godly type of submitting to your husband. Like, I think a lot of women are harmed by this belief system. Like, you know, it really ruins marriages. I actually had even a young man message me. He said, my wife has gotten involved in this Hebrew Israelite stuff, and now she wants to leave me. So it's really harmful. And I've even seen women say that they've been abused by their husbands once they became Hebrew Israelites. They just got really dominating, domineering, very, you know.
Yeah, it's very angry. It is a very angry, and I guess, I mean, you're trying to keep the law. I mean, yeah. You're putting a yoke around your neck, and there's no joy in that. There's no salvation. There's no hope. It is simply trying to fulfill the law in your own works and your own strength. And that is a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
Yep. So one question, Ty, when your friend was trying to convert you, what stopped you from being converted? What stopped you from going down that road?
Mostly just having a handle on the true gospel at the end of the day, and knowing the scriptures, and, you know, knowing what the Bible says about God's love and how we're supposed to treat our enemies, our neighbors. I'm just like, none of this really makes sense. And I just knew that, like, we're not supposed to keep the law. That's the New Testament is not about us doing exactly what they did in the Old Testament. That kind of defeats the whole purpose of salvation and resurrection and all these things. I'm like, none of this makes logical sense. It just doesn't correlate to what I've been reading this Bible for so many years.
I wonder would they say that the apostles were also a part of the Black Hebrew Israelite crew?
Yeah, anybody that's a Jew, even though they hate the writings of Paul, wonder why.
Yeah, they right? Yeah, I want to say, for anybody who's looking to get into a conversation with a Black Hebrew Israelite, just go to Galatians. Mm-hmm. That they hate Galatians because Paul is breaking down and telling you how the law is your ruin, right? Mm-hmm. And so they struggle with that. They said that they really do hate the writings of Paul. But it is a great place to go in terms of, if you're going to hold a scripture and you want to have a conversation with them to the book of Galatians and see what power and strength the law has. Because their only hope is in their following the law. And Paul completely obliterates the idea that you can be righteous by following the law.
Yes, sir.
Ty, what tips or suggestions do you have for us in talking, like, if we come across a Black Hebrew Israelite? I think, Kevin, you brought up a good point of, like, you know, what do you do with Galatians? What are some, maybe either a strategic question that we can, you know, ask, or a way to, we tend to say, win the next conversation. Like, we don't want to be so bombastic or so just militant ourselves that we just turn people away. We want to make sure that we can keep the, you know, Matthew 28:19 and going out and evangelizing to others and having these conversations so that we can win some. I don't know if you have a thought on that.
Well, I think we could always go back to the Greg Kokel bag and say, ask them plenty of questions so you can kind of get an idea of what their particular worldview is. From what I can tell, if you speak to them as a group, you know, the militant ones outside, I don't think you're really going to get a lot of headway by yelling at them on the street. Not because I think that's a bad thing to do. Like, you know, I've seen some amazing videos. I think it's awesome to see Christians out there being like, no, this is not what the Bible says. I love that. But if we're talking about, like, actually being able to get into a relationship with one and, like, have a meaningful conversation, I'm not sure that that's the best tactic for that. I think in one sense, it's good to defend the gospel on the street. Mm-hmm. In another sense, I just don't know if that's really, you know, if a lot of people have actually come out of it that way. But if you're talking about, you know, your family member, brother, sister, or something like that, I will say, give them a few books like the Vocab's book, Barack Obama versus the Black Hebrew Israelites. The Urban Apologetics book by Pastor Eric Mason is the editor. They've got some good chapters there, and just really learn about it. And, you know, just preach the gospel. I think at the end of the day, that's really the best thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's another book that I just got. It's by R.L. Solberg called Torahism. And that book is not about Hebrew Israelism, but it's about, like, just, you know, those people who are trying to keep the law, the Hebrew Roots movement.
Perfect. I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask if you could help us distinguish the difference between the Hebrew Roots movement and Hebrew Israelism. If you can't, like, that's fine. I was just wondering if you had done any, like, research
on it. Well, you know, according to R.L. Solberg, the main difference seems to be Hebrew Roots. Some of them really do still want to identify as Christian. They just think that you have to keep the law. And some would say you have to keep it for salvation, and some would just say it's just good to keep it. So from that aspect, you just have to determine, who am I talking to? Whereas Hebrew Israelites is more so like, it's really focusing on who the true Jews are. One is more law keeping, and one is really praising this ethnic idea of, like, Black people being better and Black people being God's chosen.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's what I wanted to touch on, is the ethnic pride is the only way I know how to put it.
Yeah.
It seems to be very, very centered on, and when we're talking about how it appeals to, like, Black men or whatever, like, or it seems to be very, very heavily centered on this idea that Black is better. Black is great, right? Can you just kind of talk about that and, like, your experiences with that and how that affects, you know, people in this movement, this racial identity?
Well, it's like, on one hand, they want to believe that they are better, but on the other hand, they hate being Black. That's why they're trying to get somebody else's, you know, identity. And that's not to say that all Jews are white, because there are some Jews that, like, I think in Ethiopia, there are some dark-skinned Jews. So we're not saying that if you're a Jew, then you can't be Black. But if your whole idea is, I don't like Black, you know, that's not for me. My ancestors were these other people. It's just like, so what are you saying? And really, they don't even like certain groups in Africa. Like, because they're like, they sold us. So these are the ones who sold us out. They'll say some really awful things about, might be Ethiopians. Yeah. So not very friendly to Blacks, even though they try to claim that they're trying to help us, but they're not.
Yeah. I think it goes back to the idea, what we talked about in terms of Black people losing their identity. Because when you said it, it made me think about, you know, we try to claim Egypt's identity.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Cleopatra was Black and all this kind of stuff, right? We're searching for some greatness in history to claim as our own. Mm-hmm. And this is just the latest thing. Now we're claiming Jewish history as ours. And it's really sad that they're just so lost. They're grappling for earthly significance within their culture and history. And they can't find it, because who wants to say that my culture and history is, we were the weaker tribes of Africa and we got sold into slavery and we were enslaved for 400 years? Who? There's no glory in that, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're looking for something that is, you know, to build their self-esteem and who they are. And they don't understand that the gospel, who you are in Christ, is all you need, right? This none of this stuff matters. You know, and if they only knew that the hope that it was there and the esteem of who you are and being a child of God, not necessarily being from some earthly kingdom of culture or heritage, that is so much greater than what they're searching for.
Yeah, I think they make the same mistake that a lot of non-Christians make in being ashamed of Jesus Christ and the cross. You know, they're like, you know,
that's weakness to them.
It is weakness. It's foolishness. It's weakness, because Jesus didn't come to destroy everybody this first time around. You know, when you heard that, he's laying the hammer down. But the first time, he's like, love your neighbor. You know, love God. That's the law. Love God. Love your neighbor. They're like, what? Like, what about what about getting, you know, taking care of these people who've been doing us wrong for so long? I get that. But at the end of the day, like, the cross is good news. Hebrew Israelism is not good news. You don't have insurance. You have to try to work and do all this stuff for yourself. I mean, it's literally killed people. I've seen quite a few stories. Vocab talks about this a lot on his channel. Just different people. I think there was a set of teenagers who their father got wrapped up in it. And so all of them basically starved themselves to death. There was a militant group, I think, out in Phoenix, Arizona, where one of the members, like, shot and killed one of his fellow Hebrew Israelites. And then he went home and killed his wife and his two kids. And then, of course, you had the case in New Jersey where the guy and his girlfriend shot up a Jewish, maybe it was a bodega or something like that, a corner store or something. But because he was a Hebrew Israelite, he was trying to go get some Jews. So it can be dangerous. Now, those are extreme cases. Because a lot of Hebrew Israelites are really, they're cool. They got bad theology, but some of them are really cool. But I'm just saying, it can be potentially dangerous depending on how far you get into it.
One of the things that I definitely appreciate about you is the fact that you're really wanting to bring apologetics into the Black community or have conversations about the apologetic issues in the Black community. As we wrap up, I think our last question is going to be, what other apologetic issues are you seeing in the Black community? So, like, we started out with Black Israelites, but what are other cults or other lies or ways that people are misusing or twisting the scripture? What are you seeing?
Oh, I would say the New Apostolic Reformation is really, everybody thinks they're an apostle nowadays. And typically, I don't want a broad brush, but it seems like typically anyone who's calling themselves apostle such and such, they typically have horrible theology, very little knowledge of the scriptures, and they can be the ones with thousands upon thousands of people following them and going to their conferences and buying their books and all this kind of stuff. And of course, that's not just the Black church. That's just in general, you know, like, NAR is out here thriving. But definitely, like, African spirituality and just a lot of syncretism, you know, people are kind of, they're like, I'll take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't want to throw all the Transformation Church of Michael Todd up under the bus, but you got that realm of Christianity. I'm just like, oh, you know, it's so bad, which I guess that might also fall up under NAR a little bit, but maybe a little bit progressive Christianity too. I think is becoming increasingly dangerous in the Black church. A lot of really bad theologians going to seminary, coming out and spreading false gospels in the church. And that's concerning to me as well.
Ooh, that's a lot to talk about. That is a lot. But, you know, I'm thankful for people like yourself who do have, you know, like, your head on straight and, you know, a right relationship with Jesus. And, you know, you study the scripture and in context. So it's helpful. It's hopeful to see what, you know, like, how you handle some of these things. Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was going to say, she brought up the New Apostolic, you know, Reformation. They have some pretty bad theology, but you know what they have the best flyers you will ever see. And you look on social media, their flyers, I don't know who their graphic design people are. They're the best, right? If someone thinks they're an apostle, the flyer of them coming to speak wherever they are is like the most awesome production of graphic designing you will ever see. So that's the one thing that they get right is the promotion of themselves. I will say that. But in terms of the effect, I have noticed so many people, even like on social media, just in their name will be Apostle So-and-so. You know, it is that. That's the last 5 years, maybe. I don't know. It just seems to be popped out of nowhere, all these apostles.
I think that's also a product of just YouTube. Let everybody be platformed. I think you can see, like, man, that person can get 100,000. I can do it too. And you can.
Yeah. I didn't think about it from that aspect of just gaining a following.
Yeah.
And they will think, and I've seen them say this, you know, God gave me this platform. It's like, bro, you just use the YouTube formula. If you go live consistently and upload consistently, and use all these buzzwords and talk about demons all the time. Like, you're gonna get a big following. It's not that hard.
Wow. You know, I think maybe I should consider myself to be like Apostle Levitical Priest Monique Dusson of my Haitian lineage. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, just keep adding to it, right? The longer your name and title can be, man, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to get you one of those church robes too.
Yes.
Hey, I want a choir robe. Well, I don't really have a hat here, but I do like a good choir robe so that I can march in, you know?
Oh, those were the good old days.
Well, the choir robes and marching in and having a congregational A or a B song, B selection.
Look, we got to get together and go to Bishop Wooden Church. We got to go to a solid church that has that tradition, Steve.
Yes, because you know they do. All right, that is our time. Ty, tell us how we can stay connected with you, how we can follow you. Where you at?
Sure. Okay. So my YouTube channel is Miss Titus Jones. I'm also on Instagram, Miss Titus Jones. It might just be Titus Jones. Either way, if you Google me, Titus Jones, that's T-Y-T-U-S. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. So that's how you can reach me.
Nice.
Make sure to follow her. Thank you so much for being here, Kevin. As always, thanks for keeping it real, keeping it off code. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you in 2 weeks. Have a blessed week. Bye.